It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
You reap what you sow, brother.
Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
B, I can't argue with you.
Oh, baby. A lot going on in the Bay Area. We have media day with the Golden State Warriors. Steiny and Goo will be there from 10 to 2. Mike Dunleavy, Buddy Buckets, Buddy Hill, Kyle Anderson, a.k.a. Slow-Mo. They're all going to join the show from 10 to 2. Steiny and Guru live from Chase Center. Media day happening. Basketball is just around the corner. The Giants season ended yesterday. So what will the next 24 to 48 hours look like? Will Farhan Zaidi be let go? Will he be relieved of his duties? Or will he be back? Will Farhan be back? We shall see about that. And of course, the Niners approved a 2-2 yesterday, beating up on the Patriots 30-13, although it wasn't the prettiest game. You had a fumble on a kickoff return right at a halftime. Mason let the ball hit the turf a couple times. Brock Purdy forced an interception, but otherwise it was really, really good. Brock Purdy was excellent. He's playing at a very, very high level. Not too many quarterbacks I would want over him. And also we got some sad news just before the break that Dikembe Mutombo has passed away at the age of 58 due to brain cancer. So that stinks. One of the good guys in the NBA, one of the great ambassadors of the NBA for many, many years, a role model. Just really sad, man. 58 seems just way, way too young. For a guy like Dikembe, especially for a guy like Dikembe Mutombo. But I heard he was battling the illness for a while now, and unfortunately he had brain cancer, man. Brain cancer, that just stinks. Just stinks. But we start with the Niners, Shasky.
I feel really good about, and Dikembe is really sad, so there's really no easy pivot.
No, but you can't segue.
I sound cruel here, but no, as I pivot to the Niners, I feel really good about the defensive line. This Oka, gosh, and I just had his name. Okwuanu.
Samuel Okwuanu.
Is this guy like the new gem? Who was the guy from BYU that Chris Kocurek worked with who had only played football a couple of years, and he ended up never,
Detroit Lions.
He never ended up materializing. He wouldn't live up to the top.
A couple years, right?
What?
Ziggy Ansah, he had a cup of coffee, right?
Yeah, but like similar backstory where he had not really played a lot of actual NFL or football, high
school.
Second
team All-Pro 2015.
He had a moment.
So, I don't know. It's an interesting story. I think if they can find a pass rusher like this guy to just show up and make plays. I thought, Leonard Floyd looked really good yesterday. Malik Collins continues to shine. I didn't think they really missed Javon Hargrave that much yesterday, but it's one game and it's the Patriots. So I'm not here to say that they're, infinitely better, but to see the defensive line with a multiple score lead kind of close that game out and keep that quarterback under duress, I thought that was like one of those things I've been dying to see all year. So I'm really happy this morning about the pass rush. And that might not be at everyone's, front of their lobes watching that, but seeing Nick Bosa play like Nick Bosa in the second half of a game and close that game out, I thought it was an encouraging sign forward.
Six sacks for the 49ers yesterday. Six sacks, numerous hurries. Jacoby Brissett, I'm not sure how he survived in that football game, but I'm sure a lot of Patriots fans are clamoring to see Drake May, but you can't put him out there in that situation. You cannot do it. That offensive line, they lost David Andrews early in the football game. First drive, he's walking off the football field. It's like, wow, a beat-up offensive line. We talked about their tackles last week being subpar, below-average tackles. Patriots is just not a good football team. So to your point about the defensive line playing very well, I'm happy they dominated. They should have dominated. If they didn't dominate in this football game, we'd be having a different conversation. Now, the Niners probably still would have won, but at some, you got to get home, best, especially on a team like this.
Best Bosa game since when?
Probably Detroit NFC Championship game.
All right.
He wasn't bad in that game.
All right.
He wasn't bad early. I mean, early on, the entire defense was bad, but he started making his plays. But look, he needed that game. And he should have had that game against the Patriots. That's why many on Dumbarton Bridge where he's saying, look, I'm not trying to get too hyped up about this win. Now you have to do it again. Got to dominate Arizona. Then you got to dominate Kansas City. Then you got to dominate Dallas. Then you go into the bye week feeling good. So it's a good start for Bosa and his defensive line. The Patriots are a really bad team. Two things could simultaneously be true. The Patriots stink, but Bosa's good. And it was good to see him dominate finally. And because the week before, the Rams had a makeshift offensive line, and they didn't get any pressure. No, none whatsoever.
And I thought that his energy level on a snap-to-snap basis, and I think Greg Olsen talked about it, like, the motor was going yesterday, and he kept, and you could tell he was tired. His blood was coming down his arm, and he just kept going after the quarterback. And the strip sack play was all effort. All effort. He strip sacks it and then just keeps running, following the ball, and then drops on it. He just missed like two or three sacks prior to that. So it was. I thought it was a really good energy performance. It wasn't just dominating. It just felt like it was one of those relentless pursuit games for him.
Here's Bosa on finally getting a sack.
Yeah, it was looking bleak, but you just have to be ready. You got to be ready for your op, and I had a few. Missed plenty, but I think we had a great day as a D-line, and we got a win, so that's all that matters.
Why are you laughing?
On his confidence in his group.
Yeah, it feels good. Get a win. It's such a long year. If you looked from an outsider's perspective or looked online, you'd think the building's burning down. But I told the guys, told the D-line guys in our meeting last night that we've lost some guys, but I haven't lost confidence in this group one bit. So, and that's the truth. So I think we're going to be just fine.
You know, B, I'm looking at some of my notes here from the game. huge pressures by Malik Collins and Floyd on numerous plays. I thought on the play where he threw the interception, Floyd was the one kind of making him step up and get rid of it quickly. It was the outside pressure that he felt on that on that other side. And then on the one sack that Bosa caused earlier in the game, he switched sides with Floyd to get it. I thought they did a really, really, really good job mixing and matching personnel and throwing different things at him. They did blitz Malik Mustafa and Charvarius Ward, and both times the Patriots snuffed it out. Snuffed it out. They knew it was coming. They rolled to the other side on like a designed play. I'm not trying to make too much of the Sorensen thing. I'm not. I'm really not. I'm just saying that like when they do send blitzes, I swear to you, every week, the other team knew that the blitz was coming and has a predetermined play to the other side of the field. That is a little, that's like troublesome.
You know, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to panic or do anything after a win against the Patriots. Or we'll see what they do next week against Arizona and a week after and get Seattle. It's one thing to get the Patriots, but there are some concerns. Again, and they mentioned it, Fred Warner mentioned it. It's about week to week, getting better each week. Don't look down the road at a playoff game or a Super Bowl or a championship game or divisional matchup late in the season where it could determine a division title. Week to week. You have to get better week to week. And I think the Niners took a step forward this week defensively. They took a step forward. Now, you got to get more creative with the blitzes. We've heard from everybody over the last month. They're too predictable with their blitzes. And when they blitz, they just don't get home. It's like they just blitz just to blitz. And it's like, hey, let's go send a blitz and take out a block, but it doesn't always work. Tim Ryan's been critical of this on the broadcast. You can't just blitz just to blitz. Get creative with the blitzes. You got to make sure when you do blitz, you get home. Or you can get beat deep. You're playing some good quarterbacks coming up here. Some good quarterbacks. You got to get home with the blitzes. But just kind of with Bosa, his quote about, you know, if you read online, I'll just play it because I want to hear it from you.
Yeah, it feels good. Get a win. It's such a long year. If you looked from an outsider's perspective or looked online, you'd think the building's burning down. But I told the guys, told the D-line guys in our meeting last night that we've lost some guys, but I haven't lost confidence in this group one bit. So, and that's the truth. So I think we're going to be just fine.
So, it is funny when he says, you know, when you read online and hear everything, you would think the building's burning down and it's mayhem, panic, DEFCON 5. Where are you at here? Panic meters all the way up. And the energy from last Monday to this Monday on this show, for example, a loss and the lines are lit up all 4 hours. This goes to my theory of sports talk radio, man. We got to do better. But remember we had a show, it's like, hey, let's bring up Steph Curry's top five plays, thinking we're going to get a lot of calls. Nobody cared. Soon as Clay goes 0-10 or something, we like live in misery. So when the Niners lose last week to the Rams, it's, our pets' heads are falling off. What are we going to do? They're going to win against the Patriots, and it's, You know, it's crickets from the TCs. It's crickets from the Robs. It's crickets from all our normal callers, our new callers. It's crickets. Are we just happy?
The downfall is near, and it's coming hard.
I want to hear about the happiness. What are you happy about with this win? Well, it's just crazy to me how this works. They win. Purdy looks great. Order looks great. And everyone says, whatever.
Well, it's probably more of an indictment against the opponent than it is anything else. I think if this win had come against Buffalo, Cincinnati, a team with more sexier, lineup, even though Cincinnati's only 1-3 this year. Mm-hmm. But you get where I'm going with this. And I think maybe against an NFC opponent, you would take a little more from this.
Right.
It is an AFC East opponent that we all think is going to be drafting top five. Yes. So I do understand being a little more reserved. I'm not scoffing at it. A win's a win's a win.
408 is asking, maybe we could do this in the 9 o'clock hour. 408 is asking, can we get a Shasky Neighborhood Watch 3-on-1 weekend report? And by the way, the RV talk took off so much. And it goes, Bonte, you should stop laughing at Shasky because he's right. The RVs, and I forgot there was an RV parked across the street from her parents' house at one point.
Oh, my God.
And they got the RV up out of there. Now, that's in the neighborhood. Interesting. That's on the neighborhood, in the middle of the neighborhood on Cabrillo Street where they're letting stuff out. That's bad. That's bad, 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 bad.
I've got some watch. I'm watching right now. My $30 million wide receiver is on pace for 55 catches and 700 yards. Mm. Is that good?
I'm out.
got a bevy of got an embarrassment of riches on his team. What you expect? Is it on him? Honestly, is IU catching passes and putting up big time numbers? Is that all on him?
No.
Do we need to play the Randy Mosser monologue again? Or the opening monologue from Receiver Doc?
We spent all offseason talking about 29 million, 30 million, 27 million, 24 million, 25. And it's like, it's a run. We've been saying it's a run first team. This is not how they're built. They're not built that way. And like I know everyone's like, oh, they're gonna evolve into this great passing team and this and the other. It's like no, the number one wideout is whoever's open, right? And like it's a byproduct of. I get he was a really good player last. He was great last year. He's a really good player in general, but like. This is what their offense does. Their offense is not going to just throw to one or two guys. They're going to throw to a bevy of people, and it's kind of next man up, and it's just how they are. And I'm saying to myself, like, I'm not faulting Brandon Ayuk. Right. I'm saying to, Kyle, didn't you know what you wanted? Like, didn't you understand this? Like, you kind of knew. You kind of knew that you weren't going to force-feed any one player.
Let me ask you this. On this football team, on this roster, do you feel better having Ayuk on the roster than not having him on the roster?
Well, could I use the $30 million that I'm spending on him in other areas? It was too late by the time you gave him the money. But no, if you're asking me, like, independent of that, like, would I rather have the draft picks or whatever? Like, honestly, I'd probably not pay $30 million for a wide receiver on this team, and I would have spread the money and the picks or whatever other positions. So you that's traded probably him. What I would have done.
You would have traded
knowing
him.
Knowing this coach and how they run things.
You would have traded him around the draft then?
Probably. I probably would, knowing what I know now.
All right. That's fair.
But again, like, they got so far down the road, like, this was their only option. I feel a little bit of empathy for him because he's never going to be able to live up to the money in year one. It's just not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. The only way he finds a way to
justify this in year one is he has to have a monster postseason and they win it all.
Last year he had 700-yard games. And again, go back and listen to Shanahan where he's saying, look, we're not going to force feed a player. We're going to hit the open man. Now, to that point, 510 discussing Juwan Jennings on the Comcast Business text line. Juwan Jennings is my man. Dude said it all in his interview. Absolutely trusted. But Kittle is always held in due to scheme. I wish he ran more routes. This is just the way the offense is built. And so there could be movement. Look, I wouldn't hold out a trade. Look, the IU thing on Friday. I know you don't want to talk about it. We'll get to the calls in just a second.
Well, it's not that I want to. I just find it to be so dumb.
Shanahan was asked about it after the game. I'm going to comment on this.
Yeah.
I didn't see what he threw. Maybe he was just joking, laughing about throwing a shoe. Maybe he didn't like a shoe. I didn't interview him about his shoe toss. But I hate some of the clothes I got to wear out there also. But it is what it is.
It is what it is. So I guess they have a uniform code or whatnot. I would not rule out. And I know people say, well, how can you move the money? We've seen a lot of things happen in the NFL. I don't put it past any. We just saw a big trade in the NBA. Karl Anthony Towns going to the New York Knicks for Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle. Big money gets moved all the time, no matter what the contract looks like. There's a will, there's a way. It would not shock me with the way Ayuk is going about his business, because Friday was a bit embarrassing. It was.
Why do you say that?
You just don't do that on the field in front of your teammates. You know the cameras are rolling. Just a little thing like that, because now it leads to, well, there's friction. And I'm sure inside the locker room, they've handled it already. But it's more for outside noise and outside fodder. Just not a good look.
I agree.
Just not a good look, right? So I wouldn't put it past the 49ers to revisit trading Brandon Ayuk in the future. Could happen midseason. Could happen in the offseason. Who the hell knows? But I think Ricky Pearsall not playing, not participating in training camp due to injuries, really set them back to the point where it's like, you know what? We can't go into the season not knowing who Pearsall is. Juwan Jennings, okay, is he ready for an elevated role? We don't know.
I didn't know.
We didn't know. Nobody knew. They didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know.
We have to keep Ayuk because he did ball out. He knows the system, and he's a really good wide receiver. Is he a top five wide receiver? Probably not. Is he a top 10 receiver? I think he is. But this offense has so many mouths to feed, and so you're going to get stat lines like yesterday, and we're going to overlook a play where, you know what, he makes a diving catch
which
is sweet, right? A sweet catch.
I would say it's one of his best catches since the butterfly catch. I mean, am I missing another one? I mean, it's one of the best catches of his career.
It's an unbelievable catch off the dirt, gets the first down, boom.
And then he had the play action play earlier where he was wide open and they ripped one down and on the little like sail route that they like to run.
Yep. So I mean Rider. I think it's just a matter of time. Shanahan said, look, this guy played really well against Minnesota. I'll take him for his word about the Minnesota game. And we did mention that Brock Purdy wasn't seeing everything because Brian Flores could confuse the best of them. So, you know, Brandon Ayuk's in a tough spot right now, and he's in a tough spot with the fan base. But that diving catch on 3rd-and-9 was really critical, I thought, to keep the ball, keep moving, keep eating clock, extend the drive, keep the Patriots offense off the field. So we'll see with Brandon Ayuk, man. But it's he lost a lot of Q rating, man.
Can we agree Friday? It's not the end-all, be-all. It's not, and I think we're overanalyzing it just in general, just everyone, because I understand why. It's a video that came out with the title Tantrum. I didn't see a tantrum.
I didn't see a tantrum either.
I didn't see but my definition of tantrum is probably different than others.
When I see tantrum, I see my daughter after gym class saying, I want pizza, and I'm like, no, you're not getting pizza, and you're jumping up and down, throwing a fit. That's tantrum to me.
You and I agree. Yeah. I didn't see the word tantrum, which is fine, whatever. Everyone sees it differently. But I also don't think it's nothing. It's a bad look. That's kind of how I would classify it. Not the end all be all, but it's certainly like, come on, man. You know you're under the microscope. Like, come on. Like, the offseason that you had and the money and everything, like, you got to kind of like see the bigger picture here. And it's just everything's going to be dissected. I'm surprised there weren't more angles of the video. Like, I'm surprised more people didn't have their phones out just because everything seems to have multiple angles. I mean, I see fights in the stands, the Saints and Falcons. There's like 7 angles of one fight.
Yeah, so it's not just 49er fans.
There's too many idiot fan fights. I'm so over the fan fighting. Come on, man. Like, just.
But when you get alcohol, I know, when you get drugs and all that stuff.
But the Ayuk thing, like, this is the thing, though.
What it was to me was just a little hissy fit. I got my old Coach Keeves, shout out to Coach Keeves at Washington High School. He's called them hissy fits. Oh, you want to throw a little hissy fit, huh? Blah, 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 blah. Hissy fit, just a little like a little whining, whatever.
I don't know. Dress code stuff, maybe I'm immune to it because of going to private school my whole life. It's like, wear the uniform, dude. Like, it's pretty simple. Just put on what everyone else has got on. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, I don't.
I went to public school and the coach be like, hey, okay, babes, wear ties. Half our ties be all over the place. We didn't care.
Well, see, if you didn't wear your tie and you didn't have your vest, you didn't play. Like, you didn't even get on the bus.
Yeah, no.
Right? Like, I look back on that, and I have coaches, like, I look back on that stuff, and I'm like, I think that, and this is why I tuck in my shirt when I'm practicing or whatever. It's just how you're, raised.
No
it's
doubt.
Up to each
no
individual.
We had a very... We didn't have a strict dress code on game day. We actually, on game day, we just wore our jerseys.
Well, that's cool. I think that's cool. That, But like at Reardon, we had to wear the white pullovers with the tie. Yeah. And I actually thought now, looking back, it's kind of cool because everyone knows that you're going to go and hop on the bus and take off. And look, at the end of the day, just wear the right color shorts. I come on, man. You're making a lot of money.
You have the shorts on.
Just put on the right color shorts. Like, and well, I don't know.
Willard had a field day with that, man. Why? That news broke. Oh, man, I tapped it. When I get off work, I try to, disconnect, and it's Friday, and I'm with Baby Chaz. The video got sent to me. I said, oh, boy. Okay. Let me tap in to see what my guys at 95.7 The Game are talking. Man, Cam Imanod, he was discussing it all. It's like, great. Thank God Devo played.
Well, you know,
thank God.
No, you know what I kept thinking was, thank God Purdy's the grown-up. Like, just in general, man. Nothing phases Purdy. And this is why, like, I love him as our quarterback of the team. Like, he's just, there's no nonsense. Everything just rolls off the, whether it's Ronnie Bell not suiting up, okay, and him hyping up Ronnie Bell all week in a good way. Like, Purdy just acts like a leader. And I look at my quarterbacks a certain way. I told you, I want my quarterback to be a flip phone guy. I'd prefer him to be married and not go out and just lay low. Like, yeah, that's what I want.
Stop. So you wouldn't want Lamar Jackson on your team?
Oh, I'd take him.
Yeah, he's wearing gold teeth.
But Lamar Jackson has a saying. Lamar Jackson has a saying. No one cares. Work harder. Like, that's the sweatshirt he wears every day to practice. He's a no-nonsense guy who literally says nothing and just, like, he's very straightforward.
But he's also not rocking a flip phone. He's wearing a platinum grill.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't. The whole image thing with the quarterback stuff, sure. You want a CEO, you want a guy who represents the company well.
It's the way you conduct yourself. And when Lamar's talking, Lamar conducts himself a certain way.
Simply going to a strip club is not unprofessional.
I agree with you, Matthew Steinmetz. I agree with you for once. Listen, if my quarterback had face tattoos but he conducted himself like a professional, I would not care. I don't care if he had 5 phones, 10 gold chains on. Are you a pro?
I'm calling
you
cap
not?
On that, because if someone has a face tattoo, you are absolutely making assumptions.
Well, that's, you're making assumptions. I'm not making assumptions. There's a lot of people with face tattoos who are great citizens of the country.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying you make assumptions.
You make assumptions.
People
I don't
do.
Make assumptions. Yeah, that's the problem in this world. We all make assumptions. We keep judging.
Face tattoos is aggressive. Can we admit it? It is aggressive.
We keep judging books by their covers. Like, we can't do that. Read the book. Let's go to BPA. And then we'll get to everybody.
Hey, BPA.
Morning. What are the odds McCaffrey, suffering from tendonitis in both Achilles, didn't know that before he held out? I would say, like, slim and not. I mean, that's, come on. There's no way. He knew. He must have known. Maybe one Achilles, both Achilles? So I'll say Jordan Mason leads the NFL in rushing 4 straight 100-yard games. He makes $500,000 a year. You know, sometimes 1 + 1 = 2, but wow, McCaffrey is going to have to come in like a howitzer when he comes back from injury, man. So that's it.
The chances that CMC didn't know that he was injured to some degree, I'm with him, it's zero.
How does that make you feel?
Oh, well, we got hoodwinked. I mean, there's no other way. We got fleeced. But here's the other part of it, and this is the reality.
Oh,
it's like,
man.
I also believe that, like, CMC, like, and you pay people not for past achievements. You pay them for what you think they're going to do moving forward. I would have probably gave CMC the money, too. When he's healthy, he's the best player in the league. Is he not?
He's one of the best players in the league, no doubt.
I mean, he's
one of the best players.
Clear-cutting away one of the best running backs ever.
Let's go
in a Niner uniform.
but it's running backs.
No, there's no doubt. Like, both are true.
You know, like,
I would have paid him, and I would have been hoodwinked too.
Right now, that doesn't look good.
No,
it doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good. It looks horrible.
All the energy we spent on Brendan Ayuk and, you know, this Christian McCaffrey deal where he got the contract extension, I was like, wow, okay. Boy, we got money problems. Miguel in San Antonio. Miguel, what's happening?
Yo, good morning, Vontae. Good morning, Shasky. Another Victory Monday. I was waiting for this one. It's been 2 weeks. You know, we finally got another Victory Monday. I'm pumped just to see the offense go out there. I got a couple things I want to point out, but I want to end up with the 3-1-1 Shasky. But just the offense, just going out there. I think that they're moving in the right direction. At the defense, they feasted on Jacoby Brissett. They had all the guys, Bosa, Collins, Givens, 2.5 sacks. I mean, they were expected to do this. A little concern about who, you know, that offensive line, of the Patriots. I just want to see if that loss against the Rams was kind of like our last season where we had that three-game losing streak. All week, everybody's talking about the defense. I think this might have been their little, like, their wake-up, their rallying cry, just to go out there. Fred always leading it. One other concern is with, you know, what we're finding out about McCaffrey. Who's going to be back there if McCaffrey's out longer than anyone expected? I mean, I don't want Mason to get worn out, and I definitely don't want Debo back there being a running back and getting hurt. I want him on those bombs, like he had that bomb yesterday. Real quick, shout out Purdy. Purdy's showing who he is. Shout out Purdy with the hi mom. I called my mom after the game. Thank you for that reminder. And Shasky, I know you know everybody's making a lot about Ayuk shorts, but when the offense came out and every first play, all offense, Red Sox. Ayuk had the White Sox. I said, "Uh-oh, Shasky dialing 311, going to report that uniform."
That's good. That, come on, that's a good material. I'd rather be the White Sox.
But I don't. What I was surprised is Purdy was wearing red shoes. I don't think I've seen him wear red shoes.
He was dripped up. By the way, Jordan Mason on pace for nearly 387 carries. So it's gone down a little bit. Gone down. 387 carries. He's averaging over 22 carries a game. So, should you lessen the load? I kind of like the way he runs, man. Again, I like good players on the field. Guys get hurt in football. It's football. It's pro football. Guys get hit. It's a violent sport. What do you want? You think everybody's going to be... You think injuries are off? Guys get hit. That's what happens. All right. Your phone call's coming up. We got everybody. Rocky, Travis, Dave. Oh, Dave's got a very interesting point this week. Very interesting. Want to stay tuned for that one. By the way, media day today. Steiny Goo, Mike Dunleavy, Buddy Hill, Kyle Anderson. They're all going to join them live from Chase Center as we ramp up for basketball season. What's going to happen with the Giants? We don't know.
Sports, man.
Alabama, Georgia. Wow. Sports, man. It's all coming up. Brought to you by Frontier Ford. The end of summer sales event is on right now at Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek in Santa Clara. Now is the time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck or SUV. So stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com.
Hate watch. I don't know how many others out there hate watch. I'm a sick individual.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on a morning roast with Fontaine and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Yee!
Hella roasted. Will Farhan get roasted out of town? I'm sure the garlic fries and baseball guys will talk about it.
It's a shame. It's embarrassing, really.
Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast. Sam Lubman, Joe Shasky. We'll have everything you need to know about any changes, firings, or hirings the Giants make this week and the rest of the offseason. Subscribe today so that you do not miss out on the best damn Giants talk in the Bay Area. Before we get to Dave and Rocky, hang tight there. What if Farhan doesn't get fired? What if he doesn't?
I don't think that would signal a lot of confidence to the fan base. I think the fan base is over it.
Yeah. What's love? How does love?
I mean, to me, doesn't that like? Okay, look. Are there merits to staying together? Sure, I guess there are. But it would tell your fan base, like, nah, not much has changed. We're really close. When everyone can obviously tell you, like, the final month of September, Bonte, they were out of it 1 week into September. The whole. All of baseball was fighting for a wild card spot, and you had 4 weeks of meaningless baseball.
Meaningless baseball.
Year six. Now, that doesn't mean that everything you did was a disaster. It's just not good enough. No one is saying that he's like the worst guy of all time who's ever run a team. No. It's just saying, like, you're not good enough, dude. Like, you can go run that same whatever with the Pirates, but it's not good enough here for the Giants. I mean, it just isn't. And it's not a sustainable business model.
So Spinoni, what would your reaction be if the Giants actually brought back Farhan Zaidi? Because we're monitoring the news. We got a lot going on today in the Bay Area Media Day.
Can I do it via a drop?
Sure.
So say what you just said.
Spinoni, what would your reaction be if the San Francisco Giants decided to bring back the president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi?
You have to laugh through the pain too, right? Like, if you're a Giants fan, like, are you serious? Like, they are primed. Like, A's are gone now. It's all San Francisco. All the eyeballs. Not that many were on the A's, just as it being a dumpster fire and a joke of an organization. But literally, you have a perfect moment right now to wipe the slate clean, start fresh, start new, recapture some audience you might have lost. And this is what you're going to do? Just stick with the guy that everyone's just loving to hate right now? So yes, pardon me, the business person, the pregame Joe Spadoni would love to talk about it. But I'm not going to lie, Bonte. I see his face during Giants season, Joe Shasky, is every single morning. He's just, it pains me to see him so upset.
Does it pain you, or does it make you laugh on the inside?
Well, here's the thing.
Loves misery, right? Or misery loves company, whatever they're saying.
I actually think it's a desirable spot, because right now, it's not as bad as everyone thinks it is. Like, we think it's unsalvageable. Okay. And look, the farm system somehow is still ranked 24th based on a variety of different ratings and metrics. I saw somebody had us dead last, but that was like a fan thing. But like, most people think that the farm is still like bottom third. Still bottom third. They haven't traded anyone away for 6 years. And then all they've been doing is just executing picks, and they can't develop anyone. You got Ramos, and I don't know what he becomes. You got Fitz, you got Birdsong, you got Luciano if you want to move him. I don't know what you can get for him, but maybe you staple him in Matos and you move those guys.
Get a bag of chips.
You got a war chest of money. You don't have any big salaries anchoring you down. You've got a couple of pieces here. It's not as barren.
Let me ask you this.
As it was.
Does a GM or a president of baseball operations look at the division and say, boy, it's going to be tough to win there?
Well, of course it is. But now you have the third wild card.
Because, you know, you got the Padres, you got the Diamondbacks, and you got the Dodgers. And the Diamondbacks, they get into the playoffs today if the Braves or Mets sweep each other. Well, now, if it's a split in that doubleheader, Diamondbacks got to sit at home.
I would say that the East is extremely difficult, right? The NL East. I'm going NL, right?
Like,
NL East.
Mets, Braves.
Yeah, I mean, you got, like, the Mets have a war chest of money. The Braves are very well run. And the Philadelphia Phillies also will spend a lot of money, right? So that's a difficult division as well. The thing is not like, hey, win the division and all this. Like, it's more like, hey, there's these wild card spots. You can't get into one of those. Now, the Central's, I think, the easiest division
in baseball. But AL West. AL West is...
No, I meant in the National League. In the National League, right? But even that being said, Milwaukee's very well run. Year in, year out. And if you think that St. Louis is going to rest on their laurels, like, no, they're going to make big moves as well. So I expect them to be significantly better. The Giants' job isn't that bad.
No, it's not that bad. I agree.
No, is it the top of the top? No, it's not the top of the top.
I agree. But I'm just wondering.
Would you rather be the Giants or would you rather be the Toronto Blue Jays in that division? Like, hypothetically.
Yeah, you probably...
Because both present problems.
But who's got the better start? Vlad Jr. is good. They got problems, though. They definitely have problems because Baltimore's
terms of, like,
good.
You're looking up at the Orioles. No doubt. You're looking up
Orioles,
at the
Yankees. You got the Red Sox are battling with.
Yeah, Rays
made the playoffs
well
in 5 years. Yeah, no doubt.
So I don't know. Your point about, like.
I mean, they're going to take the GM job. No doubt.
But it is a tough job.
But I look at this division, I look at the farm, and I look at everything happening.
Point.
It's tough. It's tough right now for the Giants. But I do think it's a lot more desirable than, say, when Farhan took the job. They could be in a better spot right now than when Farhan took the job. When Farhan took the job, they had a lot of aging players. Mm-hmm. Farm was a disaster.
Anchored salaries.
You could still say the farm is a disaster, but at least you got some players. You're able to get some players. You got some prospects. Life could be worse.
No doubt.
Life could be worse.
Your point is well taken that it could be a lot worse. And no one is saying that he was awful at everything. We're just saying it's not good enough. Like, this is a classic case of, he did some things okay, but overall, the body of work is just not good enough.
How about this? 707 starting some, and this is not for today. The 707 doing some producing on the Comcast Business Sex Line. Fun exercise. Bay Area feds, who would you rather have? Trip Baalke or Farhad Zaidi? Damn, I really don't know. We don't have to answer that right now. Let's get to the calls. Let's get to David and we'll get to Rocky, Antonio, Mike. Everybody's going to get on here to talk some Niner football. Don't forget, Media Day again today, Chase Center, Warriors. And then you know where the Warriors are going straight after Media Day? Flying straight to Hawaii. And they're going to start practicing tomorrow
on the big land. Our very own Whitley Sangerno, digital manager, is going out to Hawaii.
Oh, wow, she was just in Italy, and now she's going to Hawaii. That must be great.
Hey, somebody's got to do the job.
Miss Worldwide, like Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide. There you go. Yeah. Okay, she can send me the check in the mail. Trent Baalke, by the way, might be on his third head coach, a la the 49ers, when he had Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
When he had Jim Tom Sula, Chip Kelly, because Doug Peterson, 0-4.
Did you pull the sound that I said?
Certainly did, Bonte. It's on your board.
Before we get to the calls, here's Doug Peterson after they lost to the Texans yesterday down in Houston. He dropped the 0-4.
For what? I thought he called a great game. We, as coaches, we can't go out there and make the plays, right? It's a two-way street. So, you know, you guys can sit here and point the finger all you want, and that's fine. Point it right at me. I can take it. Okay? I can take it. So, whatever you want to ask me, say, whatever, write, go ahead.
You know, it's so hard. Like, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl.
I know.
And Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl. And Mike has been a better coach than Doug Peterson overall, their careers, right? Sean Payton won a Super Bowl, right? And these guys haven't won in a long, long time. And I look at, like, Kyle Shanahan, and I know we lose our minds, and I get frustrated, too. And I admit it. I'm part of the craziness. But, like, just because you won a Super Bowl doesn't make you better than somebody like Marv Levy or whatever that's been knocking on the door year in, year out. It's just like all random. Like this guy, Doug Peterson, out-schemed Belichick, for crying out loud. The Philly special. I mean, he won a Super Bowl over Belichick and dismantled them.
Oh, it was 42-20. 42-40, I mean.
I'm talking about offensively. Like they threw up a zillion points. Did they not? Belichick's known for defense.
It was offensive firework. That defense was not. Yeah, wasn't that the Super Bowl where they benched Malcolm Butler before the game and he was crying during the national anthem?
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's like, wow, what the hell is going on with that?
No, but like when you think of Belichick, you think of like, hey, even if his defense isn't great, like he's not giving up 30-plus to you.
Now, it could be, too, that.
It's crazy.
Does Frank Wright get credit for that? Sure. Who else did they have on that staff? They had somebody else. It was Frank Reich, Doug Peterson. But to your point,
Jim Schwartz was the DC, right?
Jim Schwartzy.
Schwartzy.
Another guy who's got Shanahan's number. That's a joke. That's what people say.
No, it's not a joke.
No, it's not a joke when you look at the record. It's actually, I'm not laughing about that. I actually would like to avoid Schwartz or Flores. Or who's the other
Spagnuolo.
One? Spagnuolo.
There's three guys.
Well, keep your eye on a McDonald tonight with Seattle.
So we're going to call them the Shanny Stoppers?
Yeah, you might as well. A McDonald tonight in Seattle. It's a big game for the Seattle Seahawks up in Detroit. We are watching that. That's a huge game. Niner fans, you should be tapped in. We got to see what Seattle's all about. Are they a fraudulent 3-0? This McDonald guy, again, I came away from Christmas Day saying, I haven't seen a defense fly around like that in a very long time. They had Purdy and Shanahan confused. I mean, they intercepted a wide receiver screen. When did you see that? I mean, wide receiver screen, bubble screen, boom, popped up in the air, interception. It's like, damn, that team was everywhere. So this guy's got schemes. I'm going to see a scheme tonight. David Fresno, what's happening?
Yeah, hey, a couple little nuggets from yesterday, and I'll get to Bonte's favorite player, Brandon Ayuk, in a second. Just real quick, yesterday,
my favorite player?
You know, with Garrido fumbling yesterday, this kind of ties my both points together. Special teams, again, wow. You know, that's every week. And then also, with Garrido fumbling, they might want to bring another running back, because you were saying earlier, oh, let the best players play. Well, hey, 400 touches for anybody is kind of wild. So if they're not going to use Garrido, because after now you fumbled, they're bringing somebody else. But back to Ayuk, you know, you kept saying all summer, we got to bring him back. You know, you kept ringing off his numbers, 75 catches, 1,307 TDs. He's an elite player, right? But you just spent all morning just kind of going backtracking. Well, in this offense, there's too many mouths to feed. Well, that's exactly why you don't pay him the $30 million, because there is too many mouths to feed. That's
so what do you do? You just want to cut him? You just want to trade him?
Well, you
want to give up a second team all pro for nothing?
So let me read some other numbers to you, Mr. Bonte. You tell me this player is elite. 90 catches, 1,300 yards, 9 TDs. Would you consider that elite?
That's a very good season. It's a very good season.
Okay. Let me tell you who that was. That was Calvin Ridley. All right? So
very
he
good
had
player.
A really, really good season.
Dave, real quick. How'd you feel about Calvin Ridley before he got popped for getting suspended for gambling? And he had to sit out a year.
He was a fine player. He had one good season. I wasn't like, oh, my God, we got to get him. Or I got to draft him in the first round of fantasy. Like, bro.
Now it goes back to fantasy. Okay. All right. Keep cooking.
No, but I'm saying, like, one good season doesn't make you an elite player, especially when you're in an elite offense with elite players surrounding you. That's all I'm saying, Bonte. You was wrong, boy. I love you, big guy.
Wrong about what? Wrong about what? Back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons? Now we're scoffing at with the 49ers and all the crappy-ass receivers we've seen over the last decade, we're now scoffing at back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. A guy was second in franchise history with 700-100-yard games in the season, and now he's just a bum. And now Calvin Ridley's just a bum, even though two other teams have paid Calvin Ridley, for crying out loud.
I did say he's a bum, Bonte.
Hold on. Hey, Dave, real quick. Since you're on the fantasy football, what was your average draft range for Brandon Ayuk this season when it came to fantasy football?
For me, I'm in a few, like, third, fourth round. He wasn't going that high.
He's going in the top 40, right?
I guess.
You know it's true. He was going in the top 40. Where did he go in your leagues, Padone?
I got him as a steal, actually. I think I got him like in like the fifth or sixth round.
Because everybody didn't. He was a side.
Yep.
He was a side.
Hasn't been a great pick.
I think his point is an interesting one. I don't know. Like you're saying, like, would you trade him this and there? I wouldn't. I'm not like pressing to trade him because obviously you haven't seen Pearsall and you can never have enough weapons. But like, if there was a trade out, and I'm throwing hypotheticals out there, but like, let's say Hassan Reddick can be had for a certain price, and maybe you get a pick as well attached to it. I would consider it. I'm not saying I'd do it, but I'd be thinking about it. I mean, you know, I'm sure the Niners aren't thrilled with the way the whole thing went down. And, you know, we'll see. Like, living up to the contract, Bosa's still trying to live up to the contract. One game does nothing to live up to a contract. One season doesn't. You have to judge these things over years, right? And so we're obviously four games into what we assume to be a four-year deal. We'll see after a year or two.
How did he become my favorite player? That's why I don't have a favorite. McCaffrey will be my favorite player on this football team. If anybody, anyway. Rocky and Vallejo. Rocky, be careful what you wish for with Brandon Ayuk. Hold on, real quick. When Ayuk starts exploding, when he starts balling, I want y'all to keep that same energy. Just remember what y'all saying in the first four games. Just keep the same energy.
Wait, what energy?
Keep the same energy. Brandon Ayuk, this energy that we just
Can
got
I
from
ask
David
you, where's
Frisco.
His energy?
His energy's not there yet.
I know.
He's ramping up. He's ramping up.
It's week four.
We do this.
I think.
What did Herb say? It's going to take him 2 to 3 weeks.
About this. You're telling fans to keep the same energy. This guy had a certain energy last year, and then this other energy in the offseason.
Trying to get himself
and then the
back.
Guy that we're seeing on the field looks. He looks like he's going through the motions. I don't think it's fair for fans to be frustrated.
He didn't look like he was going through the motions yesterday.
He just doesn't have the same pop like he was when going he makes
through
plays.
He didn't look like he was going through the motions against Minnesota.
I don't know.
When Kyle Shanahan went to turn on the
podium,
thought I played
it.
Well.
A lot of people who see it. Everybody's saying like it just doesn't look the same.
Quarterback's got to throw the football to him. Quarterback's got to throw to him. Receivers don't control the targets. He got the same amount of targets yesterday as Deebo Samuel. Same amount of targets.
I don't know.
George, he's had one more target. I agree. The energy's not there yet.
Okay, that's
it's
what
not
I was
there
saying.
Yet. That's what I'm saying. But keep the same energy when he does start balling out. Did you want to go, honestly, 49er fans, did you want to go into the season without Brandon Ayuk?
No.
Knowing what we knew about Ricky Pearsall?
Once they didn't make the trade, right, like, you only had so many other options. So, yeah, once they didn't move somebody on draft day or leading up to draft day, like, you were kind of up against the wall, right, quite frankly.
Also, what was the reaction when Brandon Ayuk did sign the contract?
Yeah, we were relieved.
We're ecstatic.
Yeah, we were relieved.
We're ecstatic. Rocky Vallejo, what's happening?
What's up, man? I'm going to try to keep the positive energy going over here. So let's talk about the O-line.
You know what, Rocky? Go ahead. Rock, real quick. Keep the positive energy. This is Sports Talk Radio. We swim in negativity in Sports Talk Radio.
Absolutely. No, but I don't want to do quality control after a win. You know what I mean? So, you know, the O-line, run block, great. Pass block, decent, you know. And obviously it looks like Shanahan's trying to get Brock ready for the playoffs where the refs let the DBs hold. That's why he's letting him do all these off-script plays and all that stuff. So I think that's good. It's going to prepare them for the playoffs. Defense, number 91, Sam O. Man, he's a player. Sneaky player right there. We got the rookie Green. He has some good plays. My only negative, you know, outside the special teams and a few other things, but number 45, Flanagan Flowers. I hate to put this guy on blast every week, but This guy's not an NFL player. He can't tackle a mannequin out there, man. Put him on special teams and put him on the practice squad, man.
Hey, special
teams. I've seen this guy. He falls down. He can't tackle nobody.
Yeah, he's not very good right now. Special teams is not very special this year. If anything, they're not special. They should be called the NST, not special teams.
Damn. Special, not special. Got to fix that. But you know what? Saints had a muff. Eagles had a muff. There was a muff last night, Sunday Night Football, correct?
It's not just the muff, though.
It's not the muff. It's bad. No, I get it. I get it.
You got a punt block. You've given up big returns.
I saw Tampa Bay yesterday. They got an extra point brought back by the Eagles. Special teams hasn't been special around the league. I don't know what the hell's going on with special teams. Let's go to... Boy, in terms of Brendan, I really gets people triggered this year.
Well,
boy.
I think the way the whole thing went down, I think it's you leave yourself open to be criticized when the timeline plays out the way it did, and then the Friday thing with the video, and like,
let me ask.
This. Can we admit it?
Let me
weird?
Ask this: was Bosa's weird? Was his year a season ago weird?
Yeah, and we crushed him.
Not like Brendan Ayuk. Oh, yeah,
but here's
close.
The difference between the
not
two players. Once
would
here's
you have rather Brendan Ayuk just held out and just stayed away and then signed a contract like Bosa?
I think we can't talk about them like they're the same player. Bosa is, even in a down year, considered a top five guy at his position no matter what. Bosa has 25 or more teams willing to pay him $120 million guaranteed no matter what. The same cannot be said about Brandon Ayuk. Bosa every year has been All-Pro, essentially, right? So, like, they're not the same player. They're not in the same category, right? Now, did we feel a certain way about Bosa when he did hold out and he did come in and didn't play well? Sure. We critiqued him. I think that Ayuk's getting probably more criticism now than what Bosa got back then. That I'll grant you. But no, they're not the same player. They're not viewed the same way around the league.
Well, when Bosa threw Steve Wilks under the bus, everybody agreed with Bosa, saying, yeah, hell yeah. It was like, wow, this guy just threw a coach under the bus. You imagine Brendan Ayuk said, what if he threw Leonard Hakerson, a wide receiver coach, under the bus? People be all over Ayuk. Bosa did it. It was all good in the hood.
Again,
it was all good in the hood.
Bosa has credibility, he does that. Four-time All-Pro.
Hey, man, Ayuk made a second-team All-Pro in a team that throws the ball the third least amount of times.
Monte.
All right? Monte. So I hear you with Bosa. I hear it, but Bosa has to live up to the contract, and the injury was completely different. That's all I'm saying. Not to say we don't want Brendan Ayuk. Well, fine, trade Brendan Ayuk then.
No, we're saying he needs to play better.
The Steelers still want him.
People are saying he needs to play better.
But we don't know if he's playing at a high level because the quarterback's not throwing him the ball. He's spreading the ball around. We don't know if he's getting open. I haven't watched the All-22. When Shanahan goes, I thought coming out of the Minnesota game, I was like, Brendan Ayuk ain't doing anything. Purdy ain't seeing it. Shanahan goes up there and is like, I thought Brendan Ayuk had his best game. We didn't hit him on a couple plays that could have made his game a lot better. If Purdy throws a deep ball last week and he creates, not only that, the first quarter, he creates a defensive holding call, right, on the deep shot. That's a touchdown. Tre'Davious White holds him, but you get first down and you score a touchdown. That's created by Brendan Ayuk, which is why I want a stat. I want a stat. We got all these hidden yardage stats, right? You got hockey assist in basketball, got all these stats. I would love to get a stat. How many yards created by wide receivers on pass interferences or defensive holding calls? Because I think that should be quantified. I think that should be, we should be able to equate a wide receiver's performance with, oh, is he creating penalties? We do it with defensive ends, right? With Bosa? Well, he, intentional grounding, he forced that. Offensive holding, he forced that. Pressures, he forced that. Can we do that with wide receivers? Because we're talking about Brendan Ayuk completely different if Purdy throws that ball last week or if he catches that ball in the first quarter when he's not called for defensive holding. That's all. It's just, boy, Brendan Ayuk can't catch a break around here, and I get it. I get it. He's a damn good player, though. Let's not forget that. I still believe that to my core.
I think everyone thinks he's a really good player.
I don't know.
But there's a difference between...
David Fresno doesn't.
Well, I think where people, like, there's a distinction here. It's like really good versus top at the position. Right? I think there's a little wiggle room there, and people think he's really good, but not top of his position.
I agree with that. But when he asked for the money early,
well, that's a whole other can of worms. It takes two to tango.
You know, and then the receiver market changes, and I used to look at his numbers and saying, well, look at my productivity, and look at where I was at last year, and this guy's getting money, and that guy's getting money, and this guy's getting money. Got to do what you got to do for yourself. So he's got to play better. There's no doubt about it, but I don't know how poor it is. When Shanahan says, man, this guy's good the first 2 weeks and he's getting back, all right, fine.
We'll see. He's got work to do, though. And we all saw this coming, right? When you produce stat lines of two catches of 48 yards, there's going to be doom and gloom about them all the time.
Well, the holdout stuff is just, right. You set yourself up for criticism. The team, the player, everyone. Like, Trent had a pretty quiet game yesterday, so no one's going to bring him up at all, right? And they won, and they were in full control. But I thought there were some pass protection issues, but we're not going to bring that up because they won, and they were in full control and all that. So, you know, I mean, look, again, you open up Pandora's box when you go about it this way. Fair or not, I just think this is how the modern fan talks like this now.
Do you believe this? 925, Comcast Business Text Line. Do you buy this?
What's that?
That Juwan Jennings is benefiting from double teams on Brandon Ayuk.
I don't know. I know that when Juwan Jennings makes catches, it does feel like guys are on his back. I don't know if that has to do with double teams or not double teams. I don't know what people are doing. I don't know. I don't pretend to be Greg Cosell.
Yeah, that's all. Just, you know, this guy may be, you know, benefiting from, hey, you're seeing one-on-ones because of Brandon Ayuk. It's just like we talk about gravity on the court with Stephen Curry. Guys are getting wide open shots because of Stephen Curry, right? And his presence out there. Who knows? But I think we all agree Ayuk has to be better. He has to get better. And the holdout, we knew the hold in was going to set him back, which is why we didn't want him holding in. But I'd be careful with trading him and saying bye-bye to Brandon Ayuk, man. This guy has put together some good seasons for the 49ers. Let's go to Mike in Santa Clara. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, happy Victory Monday, guys.
What's up?
Good win yesterday. I would actually just like to say, you know, I kind of considered this Sunday more of like a tune-up game since we had everyone back. And it looked like... you know, minus McCaffrey, of course. But it looked like, you know, we did finally see some glimpses of, like, what Ayuk can do, especially with that diving catch. Man, that was an awesome, and, yeah, like you said, Bonte, that was a critical play also. As well as, like, you know, finally seeing Trent Williams, and maybe he got it during the half. Like, maybe he didn't have to get an IV this time. Hopefully he didn't. And then, you know, the only thing that really did kind of scare me was, like, when Fred Warner went out with that ankle injury. But I think it was kind of smart for them to kind of hold him out for a little bit, you know, just making sure, especially with the lead that they had. But just overall, I do still have some concerns with the offensive line whenever they're trying to do a pass at that point. I still think they need to get that buckled down a little bit more. But it was a lot better compared to what we've seen in the past. And one last thing I got to say is just on the Patriots side, man, Christian Gonzalez, man, that guy is a baller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he is turning out to be a really good one-on-one corner, like man-to-man coverage. So last thing I got to say, guys, is vote Joe Shasky 2025 for council.
Christian Gonzalez, they were showing some of those like cut-ups of him staying with guys. His hips, his feet, he is a very good player.
He's really good. They should not let him go. He's going to get paid a lot of money in the future.
Belichick's last great pick.
I really like him. Antonio in Oakland. Antonio, what's happening?
Oh, man, you know, I give that win a B+. You know, some not-so-good things, special teams, and the Brock Purdy pass. But at the end of the day, you know, wins are hard to come by. And I'm just happy about the dub. And Brandon Ayuk, man, I got confidence in him. Of course, he's been frustrating me, you know, because he hasn't been dominating like how we all want. But, you know, we got to keep that guy. We can't trade him. He's number one receiver, man. He got all the skills in the world, man. And then Christian McCaffrey, did he hoodwink us a little bit? I mean, maybe a little bit, but he's the best running back in football, man. He's the Caucasian Marshall Faulk, and we need that guy. So, like I said, everything in football is not always going to go great, but as long as we keep on getting wins, man. And Fred Warner, DPOY front runner right now.
Let's go, Antonio. Hey, Antonio, I know you're watching the Seahawks closely tonight, right?
Yeah.
You getting your scouting on? You think they're a fraudulent 3-0?
No, I think they're kind of serious. I mean, they're not like second-tier serious. I'm not going to say they're phonies, but they're a really good team. They're going to be right there and think of things. But Niners are going to beat them and pass them up, so I'm not tripping off them. But
it comes down to Geno. Like, I think a lot of people just don't believe in Geno. Like, they really believe in Geno. They like the story and whatever. I just think it comes out. And fair or not, I just think a lot of people are like, yeah, I don't believe in Geno. And so they kind of, like, discredit the Seahawks. Witherspoon is a stud.
Yeah, they got players.
They got players. Yeah, players. Right. Absolutely.
I'm eager to see how this game plays out
DK
tonight.
Metcalf's one of my favorite players in the league.
Yeah, there you go. Philmo Mike, one of my favorite callers. At 95.7 a game. Don't come at me about Arm Street, Philmo. I'm not talking about Arm Street.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't be talking about that. What does that mean? That don't even mean nothing. Great win yesterday. I like the temperament of the team. It's not a grandeur, a big old, we got to get to this seed. We got the win. Solid win. Took care of business. No big deal. So they got back on track. I'm feeling that. When it comes to Ayuk, you say you get it, Bonte. I don't get it. We know he's rusty. He came in. We already know this. Let him get his foot up under him. He's going to have a game. The Niner offense is built like that.
Don't get what? What did you mean by that?
When you said you don't get why people tripping on IU,
I understand why. I've said it last week. I said, man, if he produces a stat line against the Rams 3 for 58, they're going to come for his head. I know how this works.
No, but I'm just saying, I don't get the hate either. I don't get why people wasn't coming at Bosa like that. And you feel me? Like, it's no big deal, ultimately. But what I'm saying, what I ultimately want to also say is I want to claim a term, the Midwest offense. Kyle Shanahan runs the Midwest offense. He has a lot of it's a variation of the West Coast, but I like to call it the Midwest offense because it's bread and butter, Nebraska, Colorado, Denver Bronco football, his dad, Midwest. And then Shanahan has a tree now. So, like, people's running that Midwest offense from Shanahan. And then, McCaffrey may be expendable. McCaffrey may be expendable. You know why? Shanahan get running backs all day. Who knows? Who's here to say that next year? I'm not saying that. It's blasphemy, I know. But just think about it. You paid all these players. Hargrave may not be here. McCaffrey may be coming. I'm just saying, you got a torn Achilles. That's serious. I hope he comes back. I'm just saying, if you look at the bigger picture, McCaffrey may become expendable if we can find one or two more running backs to help complement Jordan Mason. Hey. I don't want it to happen. I do not want it to happen. But in Shanahan's system, if anybody can overcome McCaffrey, it's Kyle Shanahan. That's all I'm saying.
But Jordan Mason, real quick, Will, I don't know where I rank him currently. He is a back unlike anything I can remember them having in a long, long time. I mean, he's big, physical, makes guys miss. I believe he's leading the NFL. This is until the Derrick Henry game. Leading the NFL in terms of making guys miss, yards after first contact. Like, he is unlike any other player they've had at that position in a long time.
People don't want to tackle him. They're making business decisions. They don't want to tackle him.
He's a beast.
They don't want to tackle him.
He's got underrated speed, too.
I think his hands have gotten a lot better. He's gotten better as a route runner. He's playing some really, really good football. He's one of the best backs right now in the league in terms of running and the way he's using his line, the way he just gets downhill. I mean, guys just simply don't want to tackle him. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of businesses. You want to get in front of Jordan Mason? You might get put on a highlight. People don't want that, man. They got families.
He did a really good job on one of these runs where Kittle was sealing it. He kind of like, whoop, whoop. He like zipped in and out his feet. He's a really good player.
I'm impressed with his route running. I'm impressed with his hands. Obviously, the jug machine. The touchdown that got called back there on the George Kittle hold. It was an egregious holding call. There's no doubt about that. But the play that Jordan Mason made to catch that football, the way he caught that football, all hands and the run after the catch. Boy, this guy has come a very long way. Very impressed with Jordan Mason right now. Now, in terms of having making Christian McCaffrey expendable, I'm not there yet. I'm not even going to go there.
Look, we don't know what kind of player he's going to be when he comes back. Well, who knows? Who knows? But I'll just say this. Like, I watched old man Terry Kirby and Kevin Falk, going way back, Falk, who couldn't run at all. Just they had great hands out of the backfield. Yep. So even if, let's just say, he won't be worth the money. I'll tell you that right now, because you give him $18 million to be an all-purpose superstar. But Would I keep a guy like CMC on the team even if he ran half the speed he's at now? Yeah, because route running and hands are so underrated, and coming out of the backfield, that's a weapon all in itself.
Yep, no doubt. Let's go to Fozzie in the East Bay. Fozzie, what's happening?
What's up, Fozzie?
What's up, boys? Good win. Man, I just wanted to chime in and say, man, our 49er fans getting a little spoiled here. Get a win, and all everybody can talk about is Brandon Ayuk not playing too good. Man, it wasn't too long ago where this team was 8-8, 7-9, 6-6. Man, now all we can talk about is how poorly one player is playing. When a win is a win, I mean, we should be excited about Jordan Mason playing his butt off, stepping in for Christian McCaffrey. Defense is playing lights out. 49ers defense and Jordan Mason won me my fantasy game yesterday. That's all I'm happy about, man. We need to be more appreciated of these wins, man. It's not easy to win in this league.
Agreed.
Very good point, Fozzie. Very good point. And they covered a spread yesterday, the 49ers, that is. So
they
covered the 10 points, 10 and a half. That's a large spread. They covered it. So he's right. Jordan Mason, Brock Purdy, Fred Warner, George Kittle's back. It was good to see Debo on the field. There's a lot to like. And there's a lot more room for improvement with this football team. But they're 2-2 after the first quarter of the season. Can they get the 5-3 by the bye week? Can they go 3-1 over these next four games? They're going to play a wounded Arizona team next Sunday who's going to probably welcome back tight end Trey McBride, who missed a game yesterday with the concussion. But Arizona's going to be desperate, and it's a division game, right? And then the next week, you got Seattle on a short week, Thursday Night Football. Where are they going to be at? Then you welcome in the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, I hate them.
And then you have the Dallas Cowboys.
So I'm looking at the offensive leaders in the NFL currently. Brock Purdy, most passing yards, 1,130. Yeah. Number two, Dak Prescott. Number three, C.J. Stroud. Number four, Baker Mayfield. Five, Matthew Stafford. Rushing yards. Number one, Derrick Henry, 480 after 200 and whatever, 10 last night.
199 yesterday.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jordan Mason, 447, number two in the league. Saquon, Kamara, and then Jonathan Taylor round out the top five. You've got the number one passer and a top two rusher right now.
And you got a number three wide receiver in Juwan Jennings with 364 yards
receiving. Didn't even see that.
So
wow, didn't even see that.
You know, this team hasn't even clicked yet. They haven't even got going yet. And they've had slow starts under Kyle Shanahan. They've had slow starts. But boy, when they start cranking up and they start winning games, the best is yet to come with the 49ers. But you know, there's no reason to panic. So to Fozzie's point, there is a lot to like. There's a lot to like. And boy, if Brandon Ayuk does catch back up to speed and he starts balling out and you get George Kittle, you get Bosa, you get his defensive line, the best is yet to come with the 49ers, man. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and AZ1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. You could be Doug Peterson.